This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
In addition to being the day that the church observes as the Reformation, that's kind of the near-term history that the church is looking at on this Reformation Day, there's a bigger picture in view, that is the Eve of All Saints. What do we mean when we talk about saints? And when we think about that, we usually think about the famous saints, the saints that we sing about, sometimes literally sing about, those that are remembered for great deeds, sometimes great humility, always great faith, and always a great Savior. So what about the unsung saints, the saints whom no one remembers, whose names are not written down any place in history books, and for whom the church does not designate a day? What about them? Are there any unsung saints in the eyes of God? Joining us to study the church triumphant hymn, we sing for all the unsung saints, Dr. Arthur Just. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ and the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Wonderful to be with you on this day in which we anticipate the celebration of All Saints Day tomorrow.
The title is We Sing for All the Unsung Saints. Are there really any unsung saints in God's eyes?
Of course not. Everyone is as precious to Him as the ones that are so well known to us from scriptures and from the history of the church. Anyone who is baptized is a saint in the eyes of God equal to all the other saints. And I think it's such a wonderful part of All Saints that we come together as His saints now, alive, to gather together around His table with all the saints, past, present, and future, to celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. And there's this sort of great unity that we have in really our complete unknownness and knownness to God. Even the saints that we think are the known saints, we're all one in Christ. And that's the magnificence about the oneness of the Christian church, Christ's body.
Does that mean that there's necessarily anything wrong or a little off with singling out saints, as the church always has, that is, setting aside days to remember particular people who have, at least from our perspective, been significant in what they have done or said in the life of the church?
No, that's one of the great things about the Christian faith, is that it has a story, and the story has players. It has historical beings who lived and worked and died and continue to live now in Christ. And that story goes back to the beginning, and we know their names, and they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're part of our family. And many of them were sort of distinguished, not because of any particular, what we would consider to be a human attribute, but because they were given by God faith to trust completely in God, to let go of their own sense of who they were, and to throw themselves on the mercy of God. And in doing so, they demonstrated themselves to be what a saint really is, and that is somebody who has let go of their own self and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. I mean, one of the Bible passages this hymn that we're going to talk about is based on is Hebrews 11, which is that great catalog of saints, you know, and it's the great chapter of faith, you know. Now, faith, as it says, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And then it goes on, by faith, Abel offered. By faith, you know, Enoch was taken up. You know, by faith, by faith, by faith.
Before we talk about a few of those other passages there, what do we know, if anything, about the author of the text of this hymn?
Well, one of the delightful things about this hymn is I believe the person who wrote it is still living. Carl Daw, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He's an American. He's an Episcopalian pastor. Grew up as a Baptist. Born in 1944, so not that much older than I am. And he was responsible for the hymnal of 1982. I mean, he's a well-known hymn writer today, and this is in a sense what you might call a contemporary hymn. But it's just filled with the story that characterizes not just the biblical faith, but the great tradition of hymnody in the church.
And in that way, it's kind of interesting, an unsung saint. Maybe we only know him from, and he's still with us, but only from this single hymn.
Yeah, I think some who are really familiar with hymnody would know a few other hymns. But yeah, I had to look him up. I mean, I've known his name. I knew he did this hymn. I know that he's a contemporary hymn writer, but I really knew nothing of him. In a way, you're right. He is one of the unsung saints. And maybe someday, you know, I mean, in hundreds of years, when people are looking at the great saints and hymn writers of the 20th and 21st century, Carl Daw will be one of them.
Again, to the texts behind this, you mentioned Hebrews 11. Are there other biblical foundations for we sing for all the unsung saints?
Well, I think the other one that certainly comes to mind is the Revelation 7 passage, which is one of the texts for All Saints Day, especially verses 9 and 10, you know, where, you know, the evangelist St. John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Now, what's amazing about that passage is the anonymity of all that multitude. There are none that we actually know by name. And as you know, right before this, there's the listing of the 144,000 from every tribe of the sons of Israel, and you have that litany, 12,000 from, 12,000 from, 12,000 from. The impression that is given, the impression that is intended there, is the fact that these are all unsung saints. There is nobody who is distinguished there in terms of anything they've accomplished. What distinguishes them is that they are part of the group that is now gathered in eternity at the throne of the Lamb to worship him in heaven with all the company of heaven.
Let's hear the first stanza of "We Sing for All the Unsung Saints." "We sing for all the unsung saints, that countless, nameless throng who kept the faith and passed it on with hope steadfast and strong. Through all their daily griefs and joys, no chronicles record, forgetful of their lack of fame, but mindful of their Lord." Thoughts with a few minutes here before our break on this first stanza of "We Sing for All the Unsung Saints"?
But one of the things that really sort of struck me in this verse in particular is the daily griefs and joys. No chronicles record. I think the ordinariness of the saints, some might consider it kind of the drudgery of life. But one of the things that saints do is that they find in the rhythms of life, with its ups and downs, its joys and sorrows, with the tasks that have been given to be faithful in the vocation into which they've been called, they have done it by faith. And I love the language of passing it on, that in their unsung, you know, kind of position, countless and nameless, the faith of the church has been handed from generation to generation. And they're mindful of their Lord, that is what is at the heart of everything they do, so that the Lord is with them all the way, in every minute, in every hour, in every task, in every work that they do, in every joy and grief that they share.
We're studying on the eve of this All Saints Day. We're studying the Church Triumphant Hymn. We sing for all the unsung saints. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest when we come back. His thoughts on the fact that the vast majority of Christians are these unsung saints. We'll be right back.
We're going to try to talk about something that we call the elephant in the room, and that is, what kind of music is appropriate for the church's life?
Dr. Arthur Just on the 14th Annual Conference of the Good Shepherd Institute, November 3rd through the 5th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we are really looking forward to this being, in many ways, a breakthrough sort of conference for us and maybe for the church, as it talks in a very collegial, wonderful atmosphere like we have at the Good Shepherd Institute about what is, for many people, a very difficult and sometimes contentious issue.
You can find out more about the Good Shepherd Institute, November 3rd through the 5th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 260-452-2224, 260-452-2224.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We now have 7 Spanish language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
Ahora tenemos 7 transcripciones en español de Issues Etc. que se puede descargar gratis.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
Estas transcripciones cubren las 6 partes principales del Catecismo Pequeño de Lutero e incluyen una enseñanza que se llama ¿Por qué pasan las malas cosas?
Guests include Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, and Carl Fickenscher.
Los invitados incluyen Matt Harrison, Peter Bender, y Carl Fickenscher.
You can download and print these Spanish transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org and click Publications.
Se puede descargar e imprimir estas transcripciones en español gratis. Solo vaya a issuesetc.org y haz clic en publicaciones.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the Church Triumphant Hymn we sing for all the unsung saints on this eve of All Saints Day. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Now, if you enjoy sacred hymns, you can go to LutheranPublicRadio.org right after the broadcast of Issues Etc. today, and you'll hear 90 minutes uninterrupted of sacred Reformation music, hymns like A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, Thy Strong Word, Lord Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word, and more for 90 straight minutes at LutheranPublicRadio.org. And a half hour from now, you'll have an hour and a half of Reformation sacred music right after the end of today's Issues Etc., LutheranPublicRadio.org. Dr. Just, I was thinking about this during the break. It is simply staggering to consider that the vast, vast majority of Christians, many of whom in the long history of Christianity have lived very brief and anonymous lives, are in fact these unsung saints. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, you use the word, I think, staggering. It is staggering. You know, I do a lot of traveling, and I love to visit churches, and I oftentimes will go in and just look around me, an unknown city. I don't know anybody there. And I look at these faithful people who come in and worship, and, you know, you want to know the stories of their lives. How do they get by? How does their faith, you know, affect who they are and what they do? How does Christ go with them all the way? Is he enough for them? He must be, because they're there, and they're worshiping him. And, you know, you wonder, I mean, all those people, and yet they are part of that multitude that gathers on the last days in the throne of God. And you know, the other passage I didn't get to it is in that very same seventh chapter of Revelation. It's one of the great, you know, comforting passages in all of Scripture. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lord is their shepherd. And in their unsung life, that is in many ways at the heart of what it means to be a saint.
I'm also mindful of two other passages that come to mind. One is, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And then from Revelation, blessed are all the dead who die in the Lord. What are your reflections on those two before we look at the second stanza?
Well, I think that's really what it's all about. I just got out of class where we were doing Matthew 25, the great judgment scene, and we were, you know, just talking about how that's not a parable. I mean, that is a prophetic narrative. That's actually telling about history that's going to happen, and blessed are those saints who die in the Lord. You know, from henceforth their works do follow them, as it says in the funeral liturgy that cites the scriptures there. And that's really what that wonderful, you know, sheep and goats judgment, you know, narrative is all about. That to die in Christ, to die, you know, faithful to him, you know, embodying in your life the works of mercy that identify you as a saint, especially the saints who don't even know that they're doing them. Lord, when did we see thee hungry and thirsty? You know, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren. That there's the unsung character of that particular nature of what it means to be a saint.
The second stanza of We Sing for All the Unsung Saints really raises this to that kind of Revelation throne room level here. It reads, though uninscribed with date or place, with title, rank, or name, as living stones, their stories join to form a hallowed frame around the mystery in their midst, the Lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrestled life from death, the wounded, risen Christ.
Oh,
it's not only a picture of the Book of Revelation, it really is a kind of a beautiful illustration in itself, building upon that imagery of Revelation. Talk about that, Dr. Jest.
It's the whole story. This is just a magnificent verse, and I did not know this hymn that well until you guys asked me to talk about it, and this verse just, I think it's just stunning. I love the, and I mentioned this before, as living stones, their stories join to form a hallowed frame. I mean, this is one thing I think we've really missed out, is that there is only one story, and that is the story of faith. That's the story of the Scriptures, the story of Jesus, the story of the Old Testament. And what happens to us when we're baptized, when we join the Christian church through baptism and then continue to be nurtured in that baptismal faith through the Lord's Supper, is that we join our story to the biblical story, and it joins its story to ours. And as I said, you know, you go into those churches and you see all those people there, and they all have their stories. But those stories are now understood by them, which is why they're in that church, by the story of the church, the story of Christ. And the story is, you know, at the table, the mystery around which they gather. You know, I think that's a reference to the Eucharistic feast. You know, the lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrested life from death. I mean, there you can see how the whole story of the Bible, you know, the story of the suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus is now told at the Lord's Supper, at the Eucharist, where we give thanks for that story. And that he is the wounded, the risen Christ. I mean, just think of the theology in those few words that you have at the end of that verse. It is magnificent.
Could it be, Dr. Just, that, and I'm not discounting history as we record it, because obviously God deigns to enter it in the incarnation and live within it and to coordinate it toward the deliverance of salvation for all people. But could it be that the way we record history with its major events and the headings we have in all of our history books are just reading it all wrong? That God's history book, as he would write the history from Adam until the coming of Christ, would read rather different in the things that he believes are significant in the life of this world?
Well, the main people in his history would be the unsung saints. They'd be the ones who he would highlight. He would highlight those people in the ordinariness of their lives and their griefs and sorrows, showed great courage, great strength, great faith, great humility, who were able to suffer poverty and pain with dignity and nobility. That the story would be told of people who had the capacity to understand and interpret their own sufferings in light of the suffering of Calvary, and how that suffering goes on now in the life of the church through his unsung saints, and how we all participate in that suffering as we gather together around, you know, the Lord's Supper, which is where we proclaim his death, his suffering, until he comes again. I think that's the history that God cares about, and that's the one that is written in the Book of Life. And I think those multitudes that are gathered around the throne in Revelation, that's the history they're singing about, how they are all one in Christ, in his suffering, in his resurrection, and now together in eternity with him.
Would that history be punctuated every week with something that read something like, every Lord's Day, Christ distributed his body and blood to his faithful, and this is how history was driven forward. This was every Sunday the most important thing happening on the planet. About a minute here.
This is where all of creation comes together to give thanks that it has been made new in Christ. This is the song of heaven and the angels and earth below, where all of creation in Christ is being, you know, in a sense, given to the Father to rejoice in because of its redemption in Christ. Yeah, that when God looks down at the world, And you talk about it in history. I usually talk about it in terms of normality. But what is normal to God? It's the unsung saints gathered around the table of the Lamb.
When we come back, we're going to hear the third and final stanza of We Sing for All the Unsung Saints. Then we'll hear the entire hymn and get Dr. Just's final thoughts. So take heart from unknown saints, bereft of earthly fame, those faithful ones who have received a more enduring name, for they reveal true blessing comes when we our pride efface and offer back our lives to be the vessels of God's grace. We're studying the church triumphant hymn, We Sing for All the Unsung Saints. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, October the 31st. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Third and final stanza of the hymn that we're studying on this eve, To All Saints Today with Dr. Arthur Just, We Sing for All the Unsung Saints. Dr. Just, maybe the key to understanding this whole concept of the unsung saints and of this hymn is right there in the fact that these faithful ones have received a more enduring name. What scripture is that drawing upon?
That's coming from Hebrews, and I think the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews rings out, especially through that first phrase, so we take heart from unknown saints. I mean, one thing a lot of people don't realize about the book of Hebrews is that these people are who are being written are to are under potentially severe persecution. And people lose heart, you know, when you're, you know, suffering and when you're, you know, the regularities and ordinariness of life begins to weigh you down. Just the griefs that you and tragedies and just, you know, the economic depravity, sickness, you name it. I mean, people get tired. They want to see, you know, kind of tangible evidence of God's presence and God's love. And the author of Hebrews says in chapter 11, and it's, you know, it's not the climactic chapter, but it's getting close to it. He's saying, look at the lives of the saints. Read the Bible. Read what they went through. Read how they, in Christ, in a sense, I mean, in the faith of the Old Testament covenant, how they were able to endure until the end. And they did it even though, to quote this hymn, they were bereft of earthly fame. They received this more enduring name. That's what the faithful receive. And I, you know, there is something about that. I think, you know, more people in the congregations of our church should be alerted to learning about what many of these saints have gone through. Some of the doubts that they've had, how they've struggled, you know, with incredible illness and suffering, and yet they have endured, and God was merciful to them, and God brought them through, and they actually were able to accomplish great things. I mean, I think of Luther, who was sick all the time, and look at what he produced. Look at how he accomplished what he accomplished, and he never felt really well most of his life. I mean, it's just amazing when you look at what has happened through the centuries and centuries of these unsung saints.
Finally there, before we hear all three stanzas of We Sing for All the Unsung Saints, just so that we are all very clear on this, what is that more enduring name that the least sung of the saints nevertheless has received?
I would say it's the name that was placed on us in baptism, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the name that is given to us when we are joined to the Holy Trinity, where we have communion with Jesus, where the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now becomes ours, and we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we enter eternity because we bear that name that is written on the book of life. That would be my interpretation. Now, maybe you had some other thoughts, Todd.
No, I think that's exactly. I think that's the only name we can actually say endures Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And that's why I wish more and more of us would make the sign of the cross, because that's where we remember our name, that our name has been sealed on us, marked on us, almost like tattooed on us, the cross of Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let's hear the entire hymn on this eve of All Saints' Day. We sing for all the unsung saints. Thank you. The Harvard University Choir with the Church Triumphant Hymn. We sing for all the unsung saints. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Dr. Just, with only a few minutes left to us here, I think probably one of the most pressing questions that faces the Christian listening to us on this eve of All Saints Day. What do you say to all the unsung saints who are listening now in the church militant who miss their unsung loved ones who are in the Church Triumphant?
Well, one of the great things about what we're going to celebrate tomorrow on All Saints Day is that essentially every Sunday is All Saints Day. Because what we do on Sunday is we come together as His saints to hear the living voice of Jesus and to receive Jesus in His body and blood. All who have died in Christ, all our loved ones who have been part of that multitude of unsung saints, what we can say about them is that they are in Christ, and they are with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven, as our liturgy so beautifully says it. And so when we come on to church on Sunday, and when we hear the living voice of the one in whom our loved ones are now with, and that we receive Him in His body and blood, we are together with them in Christ, that we are part of that multitude of unsung saints, even though they have died and risen in Christ, and we are still alive now on this earth, we're still together in Christ, and we are all one in Christ. And so what happens every Sunday is it's one great All Saints festival. And the church has picked November 1st as this one day to recognize really what we are already now in Christ at the table around His word, as we hear and believe that the life that we live, the unsung life of God's saints, is the life of those who have died and risen with Christ and are with Him forever.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you very much for being our guest.
And a blessed All Saints Day to you and all your hearers.
Folks, you have until noon central tomorrow, that's Friday, November the 1st, to enter your name in a drawing for the Essential Lutheran Library. It's a set of 9 Reformation resources with a retail value of more than $250. You could win if you join, renew, or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. To find out more about joining, renewing, or upgrading your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, go to our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. You can also call Craig right here in the office, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about the many Old Testament themes in Revelation chapter 7. We'll also play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Now remember, right now, if you go to LutheranPublicRadio.org, you will begin to hear for the next 90 minutes uninterrupted Reformation Sacred Music. Starts at 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc., 5 p.m. Central at LutheranPublicRadio.org, the very best of Reformation Sacred Music. I believe we're going to cap it off with the Bach Cantata on a Mighty Fortress. That's at LutheranPublicRadio.org, and it begins right now. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Proper Christum at shop.logia.org. Proper Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.